What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven on earth. Just a moment. I don't know what you're singing. Let me sing the one I want you to sing, all right? Heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve. Just that simple. You ready? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve. Just one more time.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve.
Heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before Him. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of these days, very soon, we will see Him face to face. Yes. The Bible tells us it's coming again. Are you getting ready? There's no one like Him. No one. And He said, God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, blessed Jesus, how we love You today. There's no like You. Oh, Sataka Matisaka. Bibaraka Shandala Bade Debosa. Say this with me. Blessed Lord Jesus. I love You with all my heart. With every breath that I take, I love You. And I'll say it again and again. There's no one like You. Thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for revealing God to me. Thank You for making me one with You. Precious Holy Spirit, thank You for Your ministry in my life. Tonight again, I open my heart to receive the ministry of the Holy Ghost to my life. Thank You for showing me how to serve God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. may be seated. Hallelujah. First, I'd like to say a big thank you to all the pastors of the various chapters of Christ the Mercy. In South Africa, and around South Africa, and especially to Pastor Kane. Hallelujah. For organizing this convention and giving us all the opportunity to be blessed today, to have the Holy Spirit touch our lives and move us to another level.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tonight we begin, and we'll have other meetings tomorrow, Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday. I learned that some of you have come from afar, and I decided that we should have some morning sessions from tomorrow. So from tomorrow we'll have a morning session. Now, praise the Lord. Now, I know that those of you in and around Johannesburg, you didn't plan for that. It's not compulsory, so you can still go to work tomorrow. But we decided to do this because the many who have taken the time to come want to give you your money's worth. All right. Hallelujah. But I can assure you of one thing. You will not be the same. Yeah. That's because, you see, when we come together in God's presence and open ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit through our lives, we are changed. There's always a difference. You know, many times when we say that we are blessed, when we have attended a meeting like this, sometimes a lot of people don't understand what it is to be blessed. When you are blessed, you are improved. You see, your life is improved. You are increased in every way. That's what it is. You become better than you were before, stronger than you were before. Your faith is increased and strengthened. You know, Christianity is not a religion, but life on earth is a journey. And on this journey, there's so many things for us to meet on the way. And sometimes, you know, you get to a certain part of your own way as you travel, and you need somebody to show up and say, "Brother, sister, here's the next thing." Sometimes you need that encouragement. Sometimes you just need somebody to show you what the Spirit of God is saying more. Then your faith is stirred. If you were about to throw in the towel, you stop and you say, "I'm ready to continue." Hallelujah. And again, God sends us an angel to add something for us to have a successful journey. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. Yes, God has sent me to meet you where you're at on this journey, so I can give you something more that you need as you travel along. So thank God. See, He loves us so much. He sure does. Praise God. You know, just to be in a meeting like this and love Jesus more and more is more than enough. Just to love Him. And if you let your heart go out to Him today and throughout this convention, at the end of it, there are those who are going to say, "Oh, you know, when that meeting started, I had cancer. I can't find it anymore." Oh, yes. But those are going to say, "I used to be weak and afraid, but I'm so bold now." Others are going to say, "Well, I had terrible challenges in my finances and in my job, but now I know I have won." Sure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to His name. Would you turn into the book of Genesis as we get started? On that great day when we all stand before Jesus. You know, I like singing that song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. One more time. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we shall sing and shout victory. Just one more time, come on! Get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. Sing it again! Get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. The last time, come on! Get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all and shout victory. Hallelujah! Praise God. Sit down. Thank you. You know, on that day, we will discover we were all the time from Zion. The city of the living God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Didn't you read your Bible? I tell people, were there two gardens of Eden? There's only one. That's where we all came from. Really? But you know what? Until a new creation. Oh, I love it. I'll talk to you about that. Genesis chapter number 1. Are you there? Read verse 1. Again. Read again. One more time. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I've had 3 meetings here in South Africa. One was in the church, that was the first one. And then one was at the Standard Bank Arena, right? And then one was at the dome, right? Okay. Now, in these meetings, apart from the one that we had in the church back in Kensington, right? I noticed in the 2 meetings at the Standard Bank Arena and at the dome that most people didn't come with their Bibles. And you know, throughout those meetings, I made them buy Bibles until many of the shops ran out of Bibles. Oh yeah, they reported that they were through. They had no more Bibles. They had never sold Bibles like they did in those meetings. And boy, was I glad about it. Hallelujah. But just to be sure, do you have your Bibles here tonight? If you don't have any book in this world, have a Bible. Praise the Lord. It's the best book in the world with the greatest news for the world. I read my Bible and I fall in love again and again with Jesus. It just keeps getting better and better. Many times I read the Bible and I fall on my face before God. Dear Lord Jesus, just so amazing. Just keeps getting better. I've never had enough. Even today again, going through the scriptures, I was amazed at what I saw. You know, you've got to read the Bible with the revelation of the Spirit. You've got to read the Bible with the pictures of the Spirit. You've got to learn to travel with Jesus and travel with the Holy Ghost. You understand? It's so important. Oh, thank you, Lord. I asked you to read Genesis chapter 1 and read for me in verse 1. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, it's very important that you follow the scriptures that we share. This is not a crusade. And even in the crusades, I always love to preach the word of God to the people. Because the word of God is still scarce. And every opportunity that we have to share it, we have to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you have seen yourselves on our TV program? You saw yourself. You were in that meeting, you saw yourself. It's a beautiful thing, I must tell you. Because, you see, it's a testimony. It's a testimony for all time that you identified yourself with God's people. I've been in some places where when somebody saw a cameraman, he pretended to be writing, didn't want his face to be seen. That was a denial. That was terrible. You denied those with whom you held a meeting. You didn't want to be seen. Do you know that you are testifying to the whole world that this is your crowd? These are the folks you run with. As you believe the same thing. It's very important. Thank you, Lord. in the beginning. The Hebrew word is Elohim. Elohim, plural for God. He says, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Elohim created the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. He did. The heaven and the earth didn't come by chance. He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now I want you to notice something there. He says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then in the second verse, verse 2, he says, and the earth was without form and void. Did God create the earth without form? No. Something happened. Something happened. He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God is not a God of darkness. So how did darkness come then? Something happened. But then he says, and the Spirit of God moved. Another word for that is fluttered upon the face of the waters. You know, I've heard people many times say something. A lot of times when you listen to Christian, not Christian now, it's a lot of the Christian preaching that we have all around the world and that we have been with for so long, you just wonder when you study your Bible, when you study your Bible, where did they get this from? You see, if something is not working, why don't you find out what's wrong? And but many times we don't find out, we just continue. We assume it's in the Bible, and it's not there. Somebody says, the Bible says heaven helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But it sounds like something that could come from God in our religious thinking. But it's not from the Bible. There's so many things that people tell us and they have come to believe all their lives. And they were always wrong. They didn't know it and we didn't know it. Now, a very important one here is the explanation of the Trinity, which has given so many problems in their lives. If only they could understand it, it will help. The Bible says, great is the mystery of the nature of God. It says godliness. It means the nature of God. It's a mystery. But you see, that mystery is decoded for God's children through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when it says Elohim created the heaven and the earth, I said that's plural for God. So who is it talking about? Now, he moves on to say, and the Spirit of God, in the second verse, Genesis chapter number 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we know the Spirit of God definitely is one of whoever he referred to as Elohim. Because Elohim is plural. It's like reading the gods. You understand that? It's like saying the gods created the heaven and the earth. Praise the Lord. It's like saying the gods created the heaven and the earth. But it's not talking about gods like they say, the many gods. No, this was written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew mind was that God, that there was a plurality in his personality. And it was a revelation granted them because they knew the Spirit of God. So, watch this now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, say that with me, the Spirit of God. One more time, the Spirit of God. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, God said, He says, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, He says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon it. But the Spirit of God brooded upon it. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, God said. Many times we read that. God said, God said, God said, God said. Until He said, let us, in the 26th verse. Suddenly we understand there's definitely a plurality of personalities here. But it says, let us make. Let us make. Let us make man in our image. Not in our images. So it's not one was forming man here and another one was doing another one in his own image and another one doing another one in his own image. No! Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In other words, let him look like us and let him function like us. Image, he looks like us. Likeness, he functions like us. Then the Bible says, so God made man in His own image and in His own likeness. Thank you, Lord. But then, so far, when you read Genesis, you don't find Jesus. You don't hear the name Jesus. There is no Jesus. In Genesis, you don't find Jesus. What'd you find? God and His Spirit. So where does Jesus come from? Until you know who Jesus really is, you can't love Him. To know Him is to love Him. You know, oh boy, I'm getting this thing. Alright, can you go to chapter number 3? Book of Genesis, chapter 3. I'll show you something. Well, you read it before, you've heard the story. How that Adam and Eve, you know, they were in the garden. And then the serpent came and beguiled Eve. When I was a kid, they told us a story. They said that Eve was there. And the serpent came, and Adam had gone to the farm. To the farm. Where was the farm? They lived in the farm. Oh, I told you, went to the farm. So he wasn't there. But the Bible tells us that he was right there. And the Bible tells us Adam was not deceived. Now, many, many times through the years, many have said, Satan deceived Adam and Eve. Satan deceived Adam and Eve. Not you. Satan did not deceive Adam and Eve. Don't look at me like that. You're still there. If you read in Genesis chapter 3, I want you to read from verse 1 to verse 3. Okay, stop there. That's where the story is, right? Good. Now, let's look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." In other words, God's lying to you. God said, if you do it, you die. The serpent said, huh? That's not true. What does that mean? He's making God a liar. And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw, I want you to notice, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasing to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. He didn't go to no farm, brother. He was there. She gave it to her husband with her. He was right there. Now, why is this so important? The reason it's so important is this. When God, you can read in chapter 2 for yourself and understand it. When God spoke to Adam and said, "I've given everything into your hands," Eve was not there. She had not been found yet. She did not exist when God said to Adam, "You can eat anything in the garden except the tree in the middle of the garden. Take care of it. It's in the garden. And you take charge of the garden. Dress it and keep it." In other words, manage the tree. See to its successful growth. Along with all the others. Just don't eat of it. That's all God said. And then one day, study that second chapter, God brought all the animals and asked Adam to name them. And he brought them all out for this wonderful naming ceremony. And he gave them all names and paired them. But then the Bible says, God looked. You know, God is so kind. He's wonderful. He's always thinking about us. When Adam was through naming all the animals, God looked and said, "There was no fit companion for Adam." He was alone. The Bible doesn't say he was lonely. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Somebody said, "I had to marry because I was lonely." Wrong reason for getting married. He was not lonely. God was his friend. He was alone. Why does the Bible say he was alone? It means God gave him a responsibility, gave him a job to do, but nobody to do it with him. So God said he was alone doing God's job. So God said, "I'm going to make him a help suitable for him. I'll make him a help. A help." Why didn't he need help? So he could do what God told him to do. You still there? And so God made the woman. That's the story. And now the woman shows up. And she's a nice, beautiful creature. And Adam likes her. And then the woman around in the garden and getting introduced. And Adam says, "Now, you know what? This tree over here, don't you touch it." You see, God gave Adam his own instructions. Now, he don't give the woman his own instructions. God said, "Take care of it, but don't eat of it." Now, Adam says to the woman, "Don't touch it. Don't even touch it. I can take care of it. Don't touch it." Because you read the story. God didn't say, "Don't touch it." The woman said, "God said nobody should touch it." But God didn't say, "Don't touch it." God said, "Don't eat of it." That's where religion started from. Religion is us creating our own rules in the way we want to serve God instead of doing what God said to do. He said, "Don't touch it."
He said, don't eat of it. There's a difference.
Come on.
Isn't there a difference? Okay, now what's this? Now, the woman says, God says, don't touch it. And if we touch it, we'll die.
Satan says, no, you won't die.
God's cheating you. He says, watch. I'll pluck it out for myself. You want it? And she says, wow, it's beautiful. It's lovely. Can I have a bite? And whoops, honey, take a bite. Now, the Bible tells us that Adam knew better than what he did. Watch now. I said, it's not true that Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. Turn to 1 Timothy. I'm hearing them singing. You say, who? The angels. They're singing. Singing. Yeah. They're worshiping the Lord. They're singing. Oh, glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I'll read quickly to you from verse 11. Are you there? He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach. I do not permit a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. Now, look here. Look here. Don't you do what Adam just did. God said, don't eat of it. Adam said, don't touch it. Two different things. But God said, take care of it. How don't take care of it if you don't touch it? Okay, so don't add to what God said. Now while we're reading, some say, yeah, I don't know why they put them ladies to preach and teach. Now there's women pastors. I don't agree with that. That's not what he said. I saw this before you came. Okay, so let's read it. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man. Look, he didn't say, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp. I want you to mark the word usurp. Authority over a man. He didn't say over a man. He says over the man. Definite article. I do not permit a woman to usurp authority over the man. He didn't say, I do not permit a woman to usurp authority over a man. There's a big difference between the two. Why is that important? A woman over the man. What do you mean? The man. The man that connected to the woman. The man of the woman. That means her husband. And that's the reason for the choice of words when it says usurp. It means that man had authority already over her. And there's no man that has authority over you except the one that rightly does. Maybe your father, maybe your pastor, maybe your boss at work, or it's your husband. That's the only way. Not just okay. That's the man. It's the man who I submit. That's wrong. You don't submit because it's a man. You submit because he is the man. Alright? You know what I'm showing you right now? How to read your Bible right. But here's where we're going. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was formed first. After that, Eve. And I want you to read verse 11, verse 14. Want to go? Again. Read that again. Oh, no, I thought you didn't hear it. Read it again. Really? Really? Read it again. Go on. Did you see that? Read the full verse 14. Isn't that clear? He says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived. So what was his problem? The woman was in the transgression because she was deceived. But Adam did something, listen, legal and illegal. I'll show you what was legal about it and what was illegal. Adam's problem was not that he was deceived. Here was what happened. God gave him the authority. God made him a God. And as a God, he was to take instructions from nobody except the one who's not of this world, his own God. And now, he's standing there. He owns everything. He's God in the world. And Satan says, don't mind your boss. He's wrong. You will not die if you eat it. And he's standing there, listening. His wife is being deceived. He could have said, stop it! He didn't. He could have said, woman! No, he didn't. He took it and ate of it on the instruction of Satan. And the Bible says suddenly their eyes were open. What kind of eyes? They weren't blind before. What do you mean their eyes were open? He says their eyes were open and they found out that they were naked. And they became ashamed and hid themselves. When you do what God says not to do, you are exposed. Exposed to Satan. Exposed. You become ashamed. He was charged for treason and lost the garden. The Bible says God drove them out of the garden. Now, something very important I want you to observe in Genesis chapter 3, for which reason we went there in the first place. Are you ready? Alright, Genesis chapter number 3. I want you all to read now from verse 7. One, two, go. Verse 8. Again, and the what? What? Come on, read it. Go on. Praise the Lord. Remarkable. The Bible says they sought fig leaves to cover their nakedness. In the 8th verse, he says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. How can you hear a voice walking? They heard the voice. They heard the voice. The voice of God walking. I want you to notice something very interesting. See, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The voice was walking. Why didn't they say, we heard the voice flying? Why didn't they say, we heard the voice jumping? Which means there was a specific reason For God cared not that the voice was walking. They could have said, we heard the voice of God moving. That would have been alright. But it says walking. There are certain things that walk. Cars don't walk. Come on, talk to me. So it doesn't mean that anything that moves walks. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, he hadn't even called them. The voice must have been saying something. He hadn't even called them when they heard the voice. So, could there be a voice without sound? No. And the Bible tells us, there is no sound without a meaning. And God will not make useless sounds. The voice came walking in the garden. He definitely was saying something. And they heard the voice walking before he ever called out to them. Then he called out, Adam, where art thou? He said, we heard your voice. And we heed our ears. What did they hear? The name? No! They heard the voice. Whatever he was saying, while he was saying it, before he ever called them. Who did they hear? The voice. He's called the voice. Now, we know something about the Holy Ghost. We already saw him in verse number 2. We know there's a plurality of personality in divinity. You understand? So, we know the Godheads. We know the Holy Spirit. Now we're being introduced to another terminology in the realm of the Spirit. The voice of the Lord God. He comes in walking and says, Adam, where art thou? This is the same voice that said, let there be light. And there was light. He has no form. Adam saw no form. He is the voice. Now we got the Spirit of God and we got the voice of God. The Spirit of God is God. The voice of God is God. The Spirit of God, the Bible says in verse 2, moved upon the face of the waters. So, action. Now, the voice of God comes walking in the garden. He's a person. The voice of God is a person. But he's the voice. The angels never saw him. He was always the voice. Great Papa God was always on the throne, never left the throne. Adam only knew the voice of God. Always on the throne, Papa God. Then the Spirit proceeds from him to perform. And the voice goes forth to proclaim. But then the voice of God came into the garden to see what man had done. He definitely must have been there several times before. They recognized his voice. They knew him well. But he was the voice of God. They never saw his form. He was always the voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lirondos kikra aptos on shanamande. Taragos ko taraangos kashalabatra. He goes konjanamah. Thus saith the Spirit of God. If my children will recognize that I'm still a voice and I'm still speaking inside of them, if they will open their hearts to hear my voice, they will be led from one level of glory to another, from victory to victory, from success to success. So saith the Spirit of God unto you. Hallelujah. The voice of God. Adam knew him. He was always a voice. In heaven, they heard a voice. They said, where is he? The angels heard a voice. They didn't see God. They knew his throne. But when they thought he was over here, then they heard the voice over there. That's mystery of mysteries. Who is God? All they saw was a voice. They couldn't find him. But they heard him. He's over there. He's walking down there now. He's over there. Oh, that's the voice of God. He's talking. what in the world was he saying? Somebody said, he sounds like the voice of many waters. Oh yes, but this thing sounds still. Because when he spoke out of heaven at the baptism of Jesus, they thought he sounded like thunders. Oh, they said, God spoke from heaven. In the days of Moses, they heard a voice. Moses stood before the burning bush. He's trying to find out who God is. He's in the fire, he said. He's in the fire. He's in the fire. Then, Moses, take your shoes off your feet. He keeps them off. Where are now standing as holy God? He's trying to, who's talking? Who is God? He saw no form. It was a voice. It was a voice. A voice is useless except it's a voice of words. Come on, talk to me. I said a voice is useless except it's a voice of words. It's got to have meaning. Don't forget that line. Now go to the first epistle of St. John, chapter number 5. I'll show you something there. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you love him? You love him? First epistle of St. John, chapter number 5. I'll read to you from verse 7. Oh, why don't you all read it? You read it. One, two, go. One more time. Thank you. There are three that bear record in heaven. He says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. If you heard the Father, you heard the Word. If you heard the Word, you heard the Holy Ghost. If you heard the Holy Ghost, you heard the Word. If you heard the Word, you heard the Father. There are three that bear record in heaven. He says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, the Word, that's the voice. That's the voice of God. The Word is the voice of God. And then the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Now why is this so important? Why is it so important? I'll show you now. I'll show you now why it's so important. I'll show you now. Oh boy. Ah. St. John's Gospel chapter number 1. You see why in your life you should be very successful and fulfilled. No matter where God places you, you can live a life of victory 24 hours a day. I said no matter where you're at. St. John's Gospel chapter number 1. And we are reading from verse 1. Oh, do I love it. He says, in the beginning. Now, I want you to understand, we just read from the same John in his first epistle, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, where he said there are three that bear records in heaven. You have to understand the consistency of his terms and tenses. John is very consistent. You can understand his language as you read his writings. He calls the Word. He says there are three that bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And he says these three are one. Moses uses another term. He says voice. Voice. He was acquainted all the time with the speaking. With the speaking. So he calls them the boys.
Watch.
In the beginning was the Word. Moses would have said, the voice. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was always there. The Word is the voice of God. He was always there. But He was the Word. There was no Jesus. He was the Word. Who was the Word? The Word.